are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So in our work with God, the concept of fear can often be misunderstood. On one hand, there is the fear of punishment and anxiety that divine retribution for our sins and shortcomings. This type of fear can sometimes lead to a legalistic approach to faith, where obedience stems from a desire to avoid punishment rather than from a genuine love of God. As we dive into this topic, we'll explore how these different types of fear influence our behavior, motivations, and overall relationship with God. We are joined on the line by my pastor, Pastor Dennis Matekenya, who's going to be helping us with this one. Mfundisi, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I am good, Mfundiswami. Thank you so much for coming through. I believe that after this one, you know, my fears about this topic, you know, they will be proper. They will be alleviated.
I can't promise that one.
Okay.
But we'll see.
We will see, Mfundiswami. Before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for the privilege that we have to share your word. And as we reflect on our relationship with you, to love you or to fear you, or to experience both, we do express, Heavenly Father, that you will be with us. And help us to open our minds, that we can think clearly and express ourselves exactly to the glory of your name. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundiswami, before we get into all these other things, you know, that we are going to be exploring in terms of fearing God, let's first define it. What does it mean to fear God, or what does fear God actually means? Because when we read scripture, we do find it, fear God, like, Haibo, why must we fear him now? Because he's all loving. But what does fearing God actually mean?
The concept of fearing God emanates from our understanding of who God is. When we properly understand who God is, how big he is, how powerful he is, mm-hmm. how majestic he is, the environment in which God exists and operates, the omnipotence of God, we can't help it but to realize that we are dealing with a God whom we must fear. And then the concept of fearing God also emanates from Scripture, as you already indicated, that there are many instances, and some of them we're going to look at this morning, as to God himself, or through Scripture, we are admonished to fear God. Mm-hmm. So this is the fear that is out of a realization that we are in the presence of the Supreme Being who holds the whole world in his hands. It's not the fear that one experiences when they meet robbers on the road, or you meet gunmen who have been masked, and you know you are in the hands of merciless, cruel men. That is not the kind of fear. This is the fear that shows that you understand who God is. That's how I would define this fear.
There is the fear, Mfundiswami, of punishment. How does it mean now to fear the punishment of God? Does God punish people?
The understanding or the concept of fear of punishment is now the realization that we are dealing with God who is able to punish. We have seen his punishment in the past, And he has warned us that if we don't live up to what God wants us to live to, we risk being punished. So there are those that really fear what that punishment will be like. For example, the Bible tells us that we should not take lightly God's discipline. For example, Hebrews 12, verse 5 and 6, the Bible tells us that do not take lightly God's punishment or God's disciplining. So it means when God says he will punish, he will punish. And there is a place for recognizing that that punishment is not a pleasant experience. And you don't want to face that experience. On the other side, the same text says, and do not lose heart when you are rebuked. So when God is rebuking us, that look, there is punishment coming. You obey God because he is God. But you also realize that not obeying God is putting yourself in a collision path with punishment. And that's not what you want to experience. So, remember Romans 6, verse 23. The Bible says the wages or the punishment for sin is death. Who wants to face death? You don't want to face death. Therefore, you know if you live a sinful life, eventually, when you have exhausted your grace provided for you, the ultimate is to be punished. And that is that, and that's not what we want.
So, Mfundisi, here I am, as an example, as Uzanele, I am scared or I fear God's punishment, right? Would that influence me in the decisions that I make? Because I know that if I do this, yay, God, God, you know, he will be after me. He will punish me. If I do this, God will not punish me. Will that influence me as a person in the decisions and actions that I take? Because I have that fear.
Now, we are delving deeper into the aspects of fear. Behavior that is induced by fear is not permanent.
Okay.
If you realize that you are facing a reality that you don't like and you are scared, it means your reasoning for not indulging in that behavior is not because you appreciate that you are better off without it, but because you are saying, I don't want to feel the consequences of doing it. Therefore, in our relationship with God, we should not be motivated by being scared, but rather we should be motivated by loving God for who he is, at the same time being cognizant of the reality that those that don't choose God, those who decide to walk at cross purposes with God's will, there are consequences and they are not pleasant. Therefore, there will be those in social sciences, there will be those that will be corrected by negative reinforcement. That is fearing punishment. But in spiritual matters, whilst we are aware that punishment exists, but our motivation is because we know who God is, how loving and caring he is, and how he wishes us well all the time. And this is not the kind of a God you would like to disappoint.
Mm-hmm.
You'd like to make him happy because he has your best interest in his heart.
Mm.
But you are also aware that if I choose not to like God, not to love God, not to make him happy, there are also consequences. And many times as Christians, we are motivated by trying to undermine the punishment aspect of it and magnifying the love aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then my question comes, if these things did not matter, why did God warn us in advance that there is a punishment coming?
Mm.
If knowing that choosing this life, there is a punishment, and the punishment is death.
Mm.
If that didn't matter, why do we have so much reference to God's final judgment?
Mm.
Whilst it should not be the motivator for our behavior, but our behavior should recognize that there is punishment. For example, if you read Matthew 18, verse 8, very interesting. It says, if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away from you. It is better to enter eternal life a cripple or lame than to have two hands or two feet and be cast into eternal fire. It's very clear to us that God doesn't want us to be lost, to be punished, doesn't enjoy throwing us into eternal fire. But he also knows that we have certain choices to make on our own. That is, we can choose to remove that which causes us to stumble because we realize it is better to enter salvation than to be cast into hellfire.
So, Mpundiswami, is there a difference between reverence and fear of the Lord? Is there a difference between two? And my producer throw in the other one here, being in awe of God. These concepts, are they all the same, or there is a difference? Because others argue, Mfundiswami, that do not fear the Lord, but be in reverence of the Lord. I'm like, yeah? But wouldn't the Bible have used be reverent instead of be fearful, you know, or fear the Lord? They would have said revere the Lord. But is there a difference between fearing God, revering God, and being in awe of God?
There is a difference.
Mm-hmm.
There is a difference. For example, the Bible tells us, and this is a very interesting passage, Psalms 2, verse 11.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 2, verse 11 says, save the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
Okay.
Can you imagine? Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? Same verse, save the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling.
Mm.
Then one asks, how is that even possible?
You know... Here you are, you are rejoicing, but the body is even shaking.
Yes, you are fearful, you are trembling, and it says, but tremble with rejoicing.
Mm.
This is, you know, we are not dealing with a small topic here.
Mm.
Because God knows that there is a room, there is space, there's a spot, there's a right place for fearing God. But also, there is another that we must rejoice in his presence.
Mm.
But when we are rejoicing in his presence, we are not careless. We are not insultful to God. We are respectful. We know who God is. Remember, I keep coming to this. Our realization of who God is makes us behave in a different way.
Mm.
So here the Bible tells us, serve the Lord with fear. When you are preaching, when you are teaching, when you are, whatever you are doing it with fear.
Mm.
But rejoice. But as you are rejoicing, as you are dancing and celebrating in his presence, remember in whose presence you are. You are in the presence of the Almighty God. You must rejoice with trembling.
Yes.
In other words, you also realize who you are. These are the two things.
Mm.
You know who God is. You fear him.
Mm.
You also realize who you are. Finite little thing.
Mm.
You tremble. You tremble.
Mm.
So it's not fearing or trembling because of the fear of punishment, as God is a tyrant or vindictive.
Mm.
But it is a realization that we are nothing in his presence.
Mm.
And he is everything in our presence.
Mm.
So we fear him because of who he is. We tremble because of who we are.
Mm.
So yes, there could be a fine balance between fearing him and adoring him, acknowledging him for who he is, his love, his care, his provision,
hey,
his awesomeness, his promises, his grace, his mercy, his love. When you begin to relate to that, then you also realize, hey, I'm dealing with a God who, by just the breath of his word, he created the world into existence. You realize you are dealing with a God who spoke the world into existence. And again, you realize you are dealing with a God who spoke the flood into coming into this world, and he swept away the antediluvian world.
Mm.
So when you balance this, I offer to say you come up with a healthy relationship with God.
Mm.
You come up with a right position where you relate to God in a manner that he wants. Remember when he says, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his punishment, the hour of his judgment has come. And the same verse says, worship him.
Mm.
So one side you are fearing him for the hour of his judgment, and it is specific, Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7. You are fearing God for the hour of his judgment has come.
Mm.
We are in judgment. It's not a playful game. It's not a child's play.
Mm.
It's serious business. God is settling matters with the universe in judgment. You must fear. And then he says, worship him.
Yes.
Love him. Adore him. Embrace him. He is your salvation. He's the one who created you. He's the one who saved you when you were lost. He's the one who made the heavens and the earth and the springs of water. Worship him.
Mm.
So that balance in the book of Revelation is what should characterize the Christian's experience.
Hi, Mdalawam, as we wrap up for today, when I, as Uzanele, understand what the words fear God mean and reverence to the Lord mean, would that help me with my relationship with God? Would it help me understand him better than not understanding those? Like, does those two concepts help one in their journey and walk with God?
I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
I would say yes, because the Bible tells us in 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord is not slow with his promise, as some count it slowness, but he's patient towards you. Why is he patient? Why is he slow to punish? Why is he slow to judge? The Bible says he is patient towards you, not wanting or wishing for any to perish. Because at the end of judgment, if you have lived a sinful life, you will perish. But he wants all to come to repentance. That's why Mark 12, verse 30 says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now, this is influencing our behavior.
Yeah.
We fear God, but we also love him. When we have the correct perspective of who God is, these two elements, fearing God because he has the power to bring judgment and punishment, but loving him supremely because he has invested everything that we should escape that punishment. That's why we love him. And you see, the doctrine or the teaching of punishment or judgment is real. It's biblical. It's true. But also the doctrine of God's love, mercy, care, provision, grace is also real. And it's biblical. And these are all Christian values that we must embrace.
Yes.
So as we wrap up, we must realize that supreme love for God is the primary motivator for our intimacy and closeness to God. It's not the punishment.
Yeah.
Punishment is a
Oh, we're losing the good doctor there.
We have no reason to fear.
My pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for our listeners as we wrap it for today? Tomorrow is going to be another exciting, exciting session. So if you can please offer a word of prayer.
Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you will not punish anyone without warning them. And there's no reason to fear that judgment when we have that intimate, supreme relationship with you. This day, Heavenly Father, we pray that if there is anyone among our listeners who has not made a decision to love you and they're still operating in the realm of fear of punishment, draw them close to your heart, that they should feel your heart of love, that they will love you back and realize that we have no need to fear punishment as long as we love you supremely, because you have made the provision through Jesus Christ that we should be saved and escape punishment. Forgive our sins and help us to love you even more, for you have loved us first by giving us Jesus Christ as our Savior. We have asked all these things, believing in his name. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, Mdala. My pastor, may you have yourself a blessed day.
God bless.
You are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.